Then we'll go back to the parallel gospel in Mark chapter number 10. We've looked at some things in past weeks out of chapter number 18. Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem here. He's soon going to be crucified, and he had a lot of teaching going on as he's headed that way. He taught one particular thing. One of his subjects that he taught just before this period of time was about hail. He gave the parable of in chapter number 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, and had many things to say to the people about forgiveness, about his second coming, about what it would be like in chapter number 17. In chapter number 18, I did a message on a command that was made. You know, as we see the day approaching, he just got through teaching about the days of Noah and what it would be like, the days of Lot. And then in chapter number 18, he said that men ought always to pray and to faint not. We live in perilous times today, and a lot of things going on in the world, and it's easy for Christians to get discouraged and downhearted when you look about and see the things that's taking place in this old world. But I encourage you tonight to keep on praying. It ain't no time to let up, but it's time to pick it up. Amen? And then he goes on and he speaks a parable here about a Pharisee and about a publican here. And the publican prayed a prayer. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was a confessing man. And then I spoke to you about child management a little further in that chapter right there. It's our duty to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I thank you, parents, for bringing your kids out on a Wednesday night and getting the Bible talked to them. But now in Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 18. I'll read one verse and then we want to go back to the book of St. Mark chapter number 10. The Bible says here, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Boy, that's a good question, ain't it? Well, I wish lost people in this old world today had that in their heart, wanting eternal life. But we live in a day and time when there's so many people that just hadn't got God on their mind. Amen? All right, back in Mark's gospel, we're going to use Mark's account of this to bring a message to you tonight. Now, in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. His possessions possessed him. Amen. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we've left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say to you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to be in church tonight, Lord. God, we thank you for Jesus, Lord. And God, we cast all our cares on you, Lord. Ask you now, Lord, to bless God in this word, Lord. I pray, God, you'd get honor and glory. We want to lift you high and holy, Lord. Give you all the praise, Lord, that's due to your name. We love you and thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this was a concerned man. Oh, that the world would be concerned about eternal life. Because this old world is winding down fast, folks. Jesus is soon to come. And if we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to do anything that amounts to anything, if we're going to lay up any treasures beyond this old world, we better get busy. Because Jesus is coming. Now, this concerned man right here, the Bible says that he was a rich young ruler. Now, Matthew's gospel says that he was young. Luke says that he was rich. He had great possessions. And he had a great position. He was a ruler. So you would think a young man that had great possessions, he was rich, he was well off, you would think he had it made, wouldn't you? We look at people and we judge them a lot of times by what they've accumulated in life or position that they might have risen to at work or in society, but God don't see men in that way. He sees a soul that's in need of salvation. It doesn't matter if he's a drunk on the street. It don't matter if he's a president of the United States of America. God is interested in souls. And my goodness, the same ought to be said about you and I today, friend. We ought to have a burden for lost souls. God help us as a church of the living God today, saved by the grace of God, to look out in this world at people walking up and down the streets that we bump elbows with every day of our life. They've got a soul. They might not have ever heard the gospel. We can be the only gospel sometimes that they ever come in contact with if we'll just be the witness and the light that God wants us to be as we go through this whole life right here. Life is short, folks. We just got just a short time to run this race right here. Hey, it's my wish tonight that we'll all run it well and be able to say when we come to the finish line one of these days that, hey, I've kept the faith. And I'll finish my course. And to look back at life and know that you've done something for God and it's something that's worthwhile. And to look back at you, maybe you've had an influence on somebody's life or them getting saved. Mamas and daddies, it's so important in your life to live a godly life before your children. Granddaddies, grandmothers, live a godly life before your grandchildren that they can see Jesus in you. They're not going to see Him out here in this old world. This world is luring everybody away from Christ. We better be the light that God wants us to be. But notice this rich young ruler right here. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. He ran to Jesus. And it says he kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? You know, when people see Christ, when they have an opportunity to get to Jesus, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing to see folks just run to Jesus? Wouldn't it be something if they had that much desire for eternal life that they just run and they'd want to come to church and they'd want to hear the gospel and they'd want to be saved? This young man had that desire. He had a desire for eternal life and he ran and he even kneeled at Jesus' feet. Kneeled at his feet and called him Good Master. He recognized him. He had respect for him. But he had a question. He had a question. He asked him in this verse right here, Good Master, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? It was a question that he had. I guess you might say it was reasonable. He had a concern. Eternal life. You know, I wish folks in this old world today could have a concern about eternity, about where they're going to spend eternity. You know, you can get out in this world right here, and you can see people 60, 70, 80 years old and above that's not they're thinking nothing about eternity. But let me tell you something, when you draw your last breath in this life right here, and when your heart beats its last time, friend, you're going to step out into eternity. Eternity. I can't even comprehend in my mind the length of eternity. It just blows my mind. But one day we're all going to step out of this life into eternity, ready or not. And we're going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. It's that simple. God's made it very plain that people can understand what eternity is all about. And this young man right here, he was concerned about eternal life. I wonder why. You know, I got to thinking, well, why? He was rich, and he was a ruler. He was young. Why was he all of a sudden running to Christ and wanting to achieve eternal life? And I got to backing up in the scriptures right there, and I found that Jesus had just talked about hell. He just talked about hell right here in chapter number 9. Let me just read you a few verses right here in chapter 9, verse 42. It says, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." You don't hear a whole lot of these big mega churches preaching that anymore. Amen? Most big churches you go to nowadays, they're preaching a feel-good religion. You don't hear much about heaven. You don't hear much about hell. It's just a big pumping up type service that folks have now, an ear tickling type. But hey, there's a real hell, and Jesus wanted to warn folks about the fire that'll never be quenched. Amen. And there'll be no dying there. No dying. You'll live eternally in hell. Boy, that ought to put fear in the souls of lost people if I could just hear the message. And I just wonder if this young man right here might have heard Jesus teaching about a place called hell, because he run to him and he asked him, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What a question. He came face to face with God. Can you imagine that, Brother Lee? Running to the feet of Jesus, bowing down there and asking Him, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" What a question. What a question. The confidence he had. He had concern and he had confidence in himself. When he said, "What can I do?" He thought there was some good deed, I guess, that he could do. He thought, maybe, you know, I'm rich, I'm young. He may have been thinking, well, maybe I can just give some money to a synagogue or, you know, somewhere. Surely I can just help, you know, do something to get myself in to eternal life. You know, these folks in this old world today the same way. He had a form of self-righteousness. But the Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the nostrils of God. None good, no, not one. You see, we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. No, not by any works that we do, but the work that Jesus did, the work that He was sent to do on Calvary's cross is the only way. It's all by grace. Unmerited. Nobody in this house, nobody in this world ever merited salvation. It's a free gift of God. He said, what? What can I do? What can I do? That was his question. But now Jesus answered him with a question. Notice what he says. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. In other words, I'm God. He had claimed to be God. He was God. All the miracles that He'd done, He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to speak, and the dumb to hear, and all the miracles that Christ performed, there was never a case brought to Jesus that He couldn't fix. Never, never. And He never turned anyone away. He was God. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Jesus walked through this life and He never did any ill, never did anything wrong. He did good every day of His life. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Jesus was working on something right here with this young man. He was trying to get him to a place of faith. He said, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. He's going to challenge him here. He's challenging him with the Scripture. Notice how he does this. He's challenging his religion. He's challenging his self-righteousness. He lays out the commandments that have to do with mankind. Notice that. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He has nothing, he does not use the commandments about this man's relationship to God, but he uses the commandments about his relationship to mankind. And the young man's quick to answer me, answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? That was a mouthful. Not only did he think he could buy his way, but he thought he was a good man himself. All these have I kept from my youth. You know, I think he was probably stretching the truth a little bit right there. Amen? Wouldn't it be something if we could keep the whole law of God? But James tells us if we keep the whole law and offend in one point, one little sin in my life or your life would send you to hell. If you could live a perfect life all the days of your walk upon earth, if you could be good and make one little sin, let one little sin come up in your life, the Bible says you're guilty of all. Guilty of all. That's why all of us must come by the way of the cross, because we are all guilty. Jesus has paid the price for our sins on Calvary's cross. Jesus asked him this question to challenge him, to make him to recognize that he was God. And he asked him this question to challenge his religion and challenge his self-righteousness. Now he goes further right here. Jesus didn't mention his commandments as it relates to God, but he's about to do something here. It says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Isn't that amazing? He claims to be able to keep the law. And when he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth," Jesus looked at him with love. Jesus looked at him knowing he was wrong. He gave a bad answer. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is capable of keeping the whole law of God. But Jesus looked at him and loved him because he was a soul that needed salvation. Ain't you glad Jesus loves sinners? Amen. I know where I was at when he come to me and offered me a chance at salvation. I'm glad all the times, Brother Vince, that I cursed his name, all the times that I rebelled against the Word of God and the conviction of God, all that time, Brother David, he still loved me. He never gives up on a sinner. But a lot of sinners give up on him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He looked at this man with love. But notice what he had to say. "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me." What was lacking? What was lacking? Jesus said, "Go sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Thou have treasure in heaven." What Jesus was doing right here was exposing something that this boy had in his life that was hindering him. Jesus wasn't necessarily wanting him to go sell everything he had, but he was wanting to turn him loose from it. It was his God. It was his God. The first commandment in Exodus number 20, Exodus chapter 20, the first commandment there is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This man's riches was his God. I had a God in my life when I was lost. Matter of fact, I had more than one. One was drinking. One was gambling. And I thought to myself, I'd never be able to let it go. Thought I'd never be able to let it go. I was just like this young man right here. I wanted eternal life. I wanted eternal life. But there was gods in my life that I couldn't let go. But he brought me to a place. He brought me to a place where I had to make a choice, just like this young man. I had to choose between life and death, heaven and hell. And I had to break away from the gods of this world that had me in bondage. Let me tell you, it's the best thing I ever done. The best thing I ever done. I wouldn't swap places with the richest man in this world. I wouldn't swap places with the President of the United States. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm forgiven of all my sins. And I'm heaven bound. Heaven bound, Brother David. Couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Glory be to Jesus. He challenged this young man. But notice right here as we go a little further. Verse 22. His lack, his love, but his loss. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, Jesus would save anybody, but he demands total surrender. Amen. Total surrender. Anybody can be saved if they want to be. But you got to give it all to Jesus. You got to turn your life over to Him. Notice what else Jesus said. There's a reality right here about trust. He said in verse 24, the disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Folks put their trust in a lot of things in this old world today. But you know, riches is something, and God says you can't serve God and mammon. And I'm glad there's some wealthy people in churches that can you know, help out financially. I know that. But there's a lot of people in this old world that's trusting in their riches. Trusting that they can do good. It's hard for me to fathom. But Jesus tells us that riches are deceitful. Deceitful. People are led away, you know. I've noticed something in the years that I've been saved. God saved me first Sunday morning in March of 1974. And I've noticed something about people. I've seen people in life as they work and they begin to prosper. And they get, you know, they get to live in higher lifestyles and higher. I've never seen one person that it brought them closer to God. Never seen one person that their gain of wealth in society brought them closer to God. But I have seen this. I've seen it draw them away. I've seen it draw them away. Get successful in life, you get too busy for God. Too busy for church. Too many toys to play with. Sad. And it's sad for those that's never been saved to have riches and never give God a thought about eternity. Jesus taught some things about where your trust ought to be here. In Him. And Him alone. Because riches can't redeem. Money can't buy you one more breath or one more heartbeat. When it comes your appointed time to leave this life, don't matter how much money you got. The rich man dies just like the poor man. Amen. But notice this, what he said up here too. He told this young man here, you'd have treasure in heaven. He says, then come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, he had to make a decision that day. He had a choice to make. He didn't know anything about a cross, no doubt. Jesus was headed to the cross. But we know a lot about the cross. We know all about Calvary's cross. We know what a cross represents in our life. Service. Sacrifice. Caring for others. Compassion for others. Christ-likeness in our life. And we all have a cross that we need to bear. God help us. This young man walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What a story. A young man that fell at the feet of Jesus. So close to the One that was the way, the truth, and the life. Conversed with Him. Heard what He had to say. Yet he turned and he walked away from the greatest thing that could ever happen to him. I wonder how many times out of this pulpit right here and out of the audiences that's been gathered here, I wonder how many times that there'd been people lost sitting and hearing the Word of God and feeling the conviction of God and having God draw them and try to woo them by the Holy Ghost to a place of repentance, and they turned and walked away because they couldn't turn loose of their little god of this world. Thing that got them in bondage. God help us as a church to get burdened for lost souls. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." That's a good verse to hide in your heart, ain't it? Because we're going to need God a lot of times when things in this old world seems impossible to us. All things are possible with God. Nothing too hard for our Lord. The rich young ruler. But he mentions rewards right here, and I'm fixing clothes. He told this young man that he could have treasure in heaven. And that's a promise to all of us. We can have treasures in heaven. You see, the treasures of this whole world are going to perish. Look around. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. It's going to burn up one day. There's heavenly rewards. He goes on down here. I want you to notice this before I close. He said you can have rewards in heaven. You can have rewards here for taking up your cross and following Him. Are you listening to me now? You can have rewards in heaven, and He'll also reward you here. I ain't saying, listen, I'm not saying that you're going to get everything you want. There's some things, spiritual blessings, friend, can't be bought. They come from God. And yet He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And He rewards His children. Amen. God's good, ain't He? These things that money can't buy that God gives us on a daily basis. You can have heavenly rewards. You can have rewards here, but you can have hurts here. Notice this, what he said right here, and we're closing. He said, "But he shall receive 100-fold now and this time." This is a verse right here. It's kind of strange what he inserts in here. He's talking about rewards, but he says this, Brother Jerry, "He shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters, mother and children and lands with persecutions." With persecutions. If you're going to take up your cross and follow Christ, somebody's going to see that you get your feelings hurt. If you're going to take up your cross and commit to follow Jesus and do something for the Lord, the devil's going to come after you. You hear me? The devil's going to see you get your feelings hurt. I never will forget. I've probably told it before. I'm going to tell it again. When I got saved, I was working in a wicked place around wicked people. Got saved on a Sunday, went into work on a Monday, and started telling them what the Lord had done to me. And one of the old fellows that owned the place, he worked on the bench down, a few feet from me, and I come in. He was sitting there working. Told him I got saved. He didn't even look up. I thought he'd say, "Well, good for you, man. That's wonderful." He didn't look up. He said, "More power to you." Sort of took the air out of me. But you know, it ain't the worst thing that's ever happened to me. It won't be the last. I've got a cross to bear, and you do too. Jesus went up Calvary's hill. They mocked him. They beat him. They spit on him. They done everything in the world. Plucked out his beard. Don't think you're going to have it easy serving Jesus. Don't think you're going to have it easy carrying your cross. But it's rewarding. It's rewarding. Don't let the devil defeat you. Carry your cross. Especially when the devil's attacking you, let you know whose side you're on. Amen. Amen. Thank you for